When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
We're trying to make a connection in Ukraine with Joseph Lindsley. We're hearing about the massive attack on Odessa last night. A seaport, a hotel, and granaries were damaged in that Russian attack. Two people now confirmed dead. Ukraine's defense ministry says Russia's attack on Odessa was, quote, a pathetic attempt at retaliation. And Joseph joins us now to tell us what is going on. Where are you today, Joe?
Bob, good afternoon from Kharkiv, where I've been for the past week, just 30 miles from Russia. And, last week here, there were many attacks. We had several days of quite intense attacks, each one with at least five missiles. But it was calm here over the weekend. And as you were saying, Odessa was hit heavily. And while it was a scary night and there were fatalities and damages, that hotel that was hit has been unoccupied for a long time. And the Russians are claiming that this was a secret Ukrainian base. It's a massive hotel, many stories tall on a pier into the Black Sea. And they're claiming that somehow this was a secret base. It doesn't look like it would have been that secret because it sticks out. It's jutting out into the sea. In fact, the owner of the hotel posted on Twitter. He said, "This is my hotel." He said, "I hated that building." It was, I'm paraphrasing him. It was a tweet in Ukrainian. But he said, the building itself was built in Soviet times. And he said, "My dream was to tear this down. I wanted to build a beautiful modern promenade in Odessa." And so he sort of cheekily thanked the Russians for doing that work for him. And destroying this abandoned hotel, interestingly, the owner of the hotel said in this post today is Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement, a time when people ask each other and God for actions and good thoughts because a book of faith is being written for everyone for the next year. And then he said, "I know an entire country that will not be forgiven." And so that comes from the owner of that hotel, that empty hotel that was hit in Odessa. And the Russians are saying that this is retaliation for what Ukrainians did on Friday. Just we had the news as I was speaking with you last Friday that the headquarters of the Russian Black Sea Fleet in Sevastopol, which is the biggest city in Crimea, which the Russians have occupied since 2014, that the Ukrainians hit the headquarters of the Russian Black Sea Fleet Command. And so the fact that the Russians would say that they are retaliating is confirmation that the Ukrainians hit something extraordinary. According to the Ukrainians, they took out 34, they killed 34 Russians in that attack, including senior officers of the Russian Navy. And so this seems like it was a pretty dramatic thing. It shows what Ukrainians can do with the long-range missiles from America. And, notably that morning, Friday morning, in Washington, officials were saying that there was still little chance that Washington was going to send the ATACMs, the long-range missiles with long-range artillery to Ukraine. But after this news broke that Ukrainians had hit the Russian Black Sea Fleet headquarters, Washington reversed its position and said that they will indeed send some of these long-range artillery called ATACMs to Ukraine. And so we don't know, but perhaps Ukrainians were proving that with the right weapons, they can have these types of precision attacks and that Russia so far cannot respond in an extraordinary way.
As you know, Joseph, polls here indicate more Americans are questioning U.S. support for the war. I don't know whether you were able to see the 60 Minutes piece last night or if you will be able to watch it. But overall, they made a pretty good case for why we should continue to send arms to Ukraine. And as one soldier said at the end of the story, basically, how do you put a price tag on a life here? Did you hear about that at all?
Well, actually, as I was running through the parks here in Kharkiv today, I listened to that 60 Minutes report as I was running through the park in Kharkiv today. And, you know, by the way, in the parks, I mean, they're filled with life. It's really great to see. But every once in a while, you pass a building that's or a block that's been bombed, and you get this ghostly waft of cold air, you know, from the shelled building. But as I'm running through that scene today, I listened to the 60 Minutes report. And, you know, one thing that astounds me that they, you know, they talk about U.S. spending for Ukraine, and the report does a good job of showing, you know, how the Ukrainians are putting these resources to good use. But the report still misses sort of the major accounting point. For example, they talk about the 186 Bradley fighting vehicles sent to the U.S. And in the report, they say that this is at a cost of $2 million apiece. But it's not, you know, that's how much those, when they were making the Bradleys, that's how much it cost. But it doesn't cost $2 million to send an old Bradley to Ukraine. And so this is, I mean, it's, you know, with all the resources of the media, for example, of 60 Minutes, and they put together a very, you know, well-produced and lovely report, they still miss that major point. They speak about this like it's new money being spent. It's actually much, much less. You know, what we really just need to determine how much does it cost to deliver the Bradley to the U.S. to provide the training, and how much was the Bradley costing to store in the U.S.? You know, how much money were we already spending for it to do nothing? And so if we look at the numbers that way, we can begin to get a more honest picture. And then I think that, you know, the arguments about, oh, we're spending too much would become much more vulnerable, mm-hmm. Because you could say, well, actually, we're not spending as much as we think. And so I was surprised that 60 Minutes has not delved into the numbers with any detail.
No one other than you has really pointed that out, and it is very misleading. And I keep telling you, you should write something for the New York Times or the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal, and maybe it should just be about that. Before we close here, I won't bring up the Notre Dame loss to Ohio State. I know you're very fond of your alma mater, and you may have had the chance to hear the 60 Minutes story, but I wasn't sure if you heard about Notre Dame.
No, and I'm far away removed from that world, but I'll tell a quick anecdote of victory. I was talking yesterday with the a great graffiti artist, Gomlet, here in Kharkiv, sort of Ukraine's Banksy, and he just made a monument in Lviv. It was an old Soviet statue, and he ripped off one of the concrete arms, and there's metal dangling, and he put this statue it's called the Superhuman Center, where soldiers get new arms and legs. And he wrote on the base of this statue in Ukrainian, he wrote, "When in my childhood, I always dreamed of being a Terminator." And this, you know, if you're a soldier who's lost, for example, one guy with missing two legs and an arm.
Wow.
And now he's going to have two Terminator legs and a Terminator arm. And so turning around what seems like a loss into something extraordinary. So I don't know if that could apply to Notre Dame, but certainly it applies here to everyone working to survive, no matter how bad their losses have been.
Yeah, makes a football game, and we're talking about the Bears here today, seem like nothing. What spirit the Ukrainians show always. Joseph, thanks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.